Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Checkout. It's a podcast. Get on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Music. All of our shows are hosted on our homepage at WBGOcheckoutjazz.org, where we have all of our Chick Forever celebrations going on. We've consolidated our efforts on our website to bring you insight into every nook and cranny of Chick Corea's life and artistry. Just published today, our very own Bobby Sanabria, the drummer and announcer, covers the Latin side of Chick Corea, taking on his Spanish heart. Go to WBGO.org to see our Chick Forever landing page, where you can also hear my last podcast with the drummer Steve Gadd. Gadd talks about Corea the drummer. But on this show, we dug up an archival conversation from 2014 when Corea visited the Checkout talking about his solo piano album, Portraits. But instead of giving a portrait of others, he gives us a clear picture of himself. The conversation is hosted by Josh Jackson and produced by yours truly. Stick with us for this fantastic, intimate vibe of a conversation with the one and only Chick Corea. Thanks for checking in.
I enjoy listening to you play the piano like everyone else, and you've been doing it so long that what's still a mystery for you when you approach that instrument?
Everything.
Really?
Yeah, just everything about it. I mean, I guess that's the game, or sort of the attitude that drew me into wanting to play jazz, was the idea that you come up with something, and you're not trying to play the same thing over again. You say, well, what does it feel like right now? What can I find out now? So you have to play this game with yourself of what we've ended up calling improvisation. It's a technical term.
Technical term.
Yeah.
Convincing yourself that it's the right path for the moment.
Well, convincing yourself that you don't know what you're going to play. And that you're going to surprise yourself. Like, how can anyone really surprise themselves, right? If you think about it, but you can. You have to do a little bit of work, and then you can say, "Well, I'm going to surprise myself."
Chick Corea joins us. You characterize a solo performance on this recording called Portraits as, you know, welcome to my living room.
Yeah, piano solo is not something I do very often. I enjoy it. It gives me a chance to, I don't know, do whatever I'm going to do. I have to begin by getting a feel for this piano, so I think I'm going to begin by finding something on the piano and seeing how it feels, and I have no plan for this evening, so welcome to my living room. Yeah, well, that's what I said. That's the challenge of making a kind of music that I like to play, which is an intimate music, usually, especially with solo piano. I mean, how bombastic can you get with solo piano? I think the larger the space is and the more people that are there attending the performance, I was thinking it through. I thought, you know, just naturally the performer makes larger gestures, more expressive gestures. Whereas if you're in a smaller environment in a living room or in the or at the Blue Note or at the Blues Alley, you can make very subtle gestures.
Do you find that your practice regimen has increased over the years or decreased?
There's no way to track it. no way at all to track it. It goes up and down, depends on the need. I like it. I love to practice. I go early to the gig to practice sometimes.
What's the most recent thing you've practiced and learned?
Oh, I don't know. You know, it's like, in a way, reading 10 books at once. You know, a little bit of one, then you put that one down, a little bit of the other. And I just keep groping around. And there's some pieces that I wrote for the piano that are demanding to play technically that I've never tried to play on the piano. But I write them for my band or for a group. So I'm trying to get some of those things together. Don't think I'm quite ready with some of them, but I've been working on it.
Also play on this recording Portraits music from Alexander Scriabin. Mm-hmm. I know that you're a fan of Alexander Scriabin. You've played his music before. What's your favorite of his? I mean, do you like the Poem of Ecstasy or do you like the piano stuff?
I like his orchestral music, but, you know, being a pianist and him being a pianist, my interest is really drawn to his piano music, and it's such a wide range from his early preludes that are really melodic, and they're almost like Bill Evans could have written some of them. Scriabin's a melodist. That's what I like about him.
A melodist. It's great to hear you say that, because as I was listening to your podcast, something that you said really stuck out. I'm going to basically just paraphrase it, but that you like writing great melodies over vamps.
Did I say that?
You did.
I do, but I don't remember saying, but I am.
My favorite thing to do is make melodies over a vamp.
Yeah. I think what it was is we were talking about the freedom that a vamp is basically a rhythm or a groove pattern that continues, just goes on. It's like a dance pattern. The harmony is not so important. It's just the rhythm of it. The groove is important. And it may be there's a key center or not, a tonal center. But over something like that, it's very free to create. And that's Miles and Train began to do that with their what they called modal music. It's always a way of music I've been drawn to, that's all. But it's the melodic aspect that really nails it for me.
Melody, Chick Corea, do you remember? What was the earliest melody that you can recall?
Well, what comes to mind is the first tune that that my dad taught me when the piano arrived in our third floor apartment with a crane through the middle window, which was pretty impressive sight as a 4-year-old looking at this big monolith come in through the window that my mother had just purchased for $45 was her story. My dad was a musician, so he, as I was tinkling at the piano, he kind of gently showed me how to read music, and he taught me this tune again. Da-da, da-da-da-da-dee, again, da-da-da-dee-da-dee-da-da. again. And that's the first melody I remember. But my dad knew all those standard tunes. He used to go out and play dances and weddings, and he had a 10-piece band that he'd take around Boston.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about Thelonious Monk. I'm sure that you could probably tell us a lot about Thelonious Monk, because when you were in New York in the 60s, you saw him.
I did. I got to see Monk a lot, fortunately. It was the Thelonious Monk University. Just watching him play up close, there was an engagement. When I was working with Mongo Santa Maria in 1961, I believe it was, we did 4 or 5 weeks up at the Apollo Theater. And I was in Mongo's band. Maynard Ferguson had his big band there, and Monk's quartet with Frankie Dunlop, John Orr, and Charles Ross was there. And there was a hole in the curtain right by Monk's piano. And I was backstage behind the curtain, and the piano was right there. He was right there, like one, two, the piano was right up against the curtain. So I got to watch Monk play for 6 weeks, and it was a total blast.
Playing Thelonious Monk's Panonica. I wonder, what does it mean to live with music, Chick Corea?
Oh, it's glorious. It's a joy. I look at it sometimes and I think I'm very fortunate and somehow lucky or smart or something to be able to spend my life making music. When I compare it to my other options, it's a beautiful thing. And the fact that I'm able to play and perform and travel around, meet people, and continue to make music, which is such a how do you say it? It's a thing that comes and goes. It's not something you can put in your pocket, you know what I mean? It's an act. It's a creative act, which I love. It gives me a lot of joy. So I feel blessed.
Are you okay that it's ephemeral? If that's the word, that it evaporates.
Oh, it's got to be that way. Yeah, that way you don't collect it, and you don't get heavy. It continues to be an act, something you do and create, rather than something you collect and have. You know what I mean? It's just it's an ability that I keep trying to improve on, and it's a communication, really. It's my way to touch the world and give something to people around me.
We're going to close with something on this solo recording. It's a solo piano version of a recording in the early 80s you did called Touchstone. That recording featured Paco de Lucia, and I know that by and large he was probably responsible with turning you on to a fair amount of amazing music.
Yeah, very much so. In the early 72, I think we met, and he sparked me when I heard him play. I wasn't particularly, you know, thinking, wow, that's great flamenco music. I didn't know what it was, but whatever it was he was doing, I really loved it. So we became friends and started playing together right away. And he was like my window into flamenco culture. Thank you.
The Yellow Nimbus, Chick Corea taking on his Spanish interests and celebrating Paco de Lucia right there from his album Portraits. And we thank him for giving WBGO so much over the years. We will truly miss him. Again, go to our Chick Forever landing page on WBGO.org to get all of our content. We hope you subscribe to the podcast and definitely follow us on social media at Checkout Jazz is our handle on Twitter. We also have a Facebook page. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.